It's just a whole bunch of stuff. It's a whole bunch of nothing. But it is the news, according to me. Well, it is Monday, October 6th. I didn't know if I was going to have a show today or not. It's just kind of questionable. And turns out I'm having a show today. I don't know if this is going to be posted or not, but I've got this far. At least I'm recording something. So that's there you go. Good morning. It is the news according to me. It is Monday, October 6th, 9:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. And I am your host with, not the most, but, you know, something. We got something. All right. So let's get into it. There's so much stuff going on. Last time I talked to you was, was it Wednesday? Did I even have a show on Thursday? I don't think I had a show on Thursday. Wow. It's been a little while, huh? Yeah. How do you like me now? We have, Thursday, Friday was kind of a crazy couple of days. Yeah, come to think of it, there was, Thursday. Yeah, never mind. No, it was Friday. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Thursday. I don't know. I don't remember. Last time I talked to you, spoke to you, was Thursday morning, I believe. And it was James Comey, of course. It was in the news. Well, you don't hear about him anymore after this weekend. We just so much stuff going on, left and right stuff going on. The left is just, in my opinion, just continuing to go off the rails. They are just out of control. And the leftists, the anarchists, the wackadoodle, deranged individuals that I'm going to say are on the left. I think they're beyond the left. I think we have this group of individuals that happens to be associated with the left because the left lets them. They can't afford to lose any voters. So they just include them in their gang because now they're being manipulated and motivated by them because they have to kowtow to them. And they're the radical left wing, and they are they're violent folks. They're out of control. They have weird this thing about resist. Well, that's not just a resisting is one thing. Proactively attacking is a whole other thing. It's just, you know, you can resist someone without resist implies defense. These people they're on the offense. They're not on the defense. And they have no argument. They have no intellectual capability of arguing their side. Mostly because when they try to, they find that they're intellectually inept. They have nothing. Welcome to my therapy session as I talk to you about the troubles facing the world. And I feel better about it, but I know you don't, because I just dumped it all on you. Anyway, the big concern is what's in my cup. I have chai, big train chai with almond joy creamer, of course. And then I have my backup cup here. It's still apple cider, as it's kind of going through from last week. But as we get closer to the bottom of the apple cider jug, apparently it hasn't always been stirred up very well when we poured it out, because it's getting pretty thick there at the bottom. It's not, you know, it is still good though. Now, the reason there's a show today, I wasn't going to have a show today because I was planning on taking my boat. It's that sad time of year where up here in the north we have to take them out of the water. Well, you don't have to, but it's, you know, best to avoid damage. We have, I had to take the boat, I was going to take the boat today. It turns out the weather is deteriorating a little sooner than usual, or what they forecast, which is almost always the case. Weather tends to move a little faster than what they forecast. It almost always happens that way, by the way. Believe me, I'm a guy who watches the weather a lot because of my occupation. And I understand the weather a lot because of my occupation, as well as boating and flying is, you're just watching the weather, and you start to, and you have to, you're required to learn a lot about weather when you're a pilot, because that's the stuff you fly through. You work, that's your work environment. And many times, most pilots will, you know, most pilots can usually forecast the weather better than the local meteorologist. We are steeped in it all the time, and we have to fly through it. It's not something we're sit in an office and look out the window once in a while and say, oh, look at there, it's not doing what I said it was. Oh, well, next day. The a weatherman can be wrong half the time and still be a weatherman. You can't be wrong as a pilot half the time and still be a pilot. It just doesn't work too well. And granted, the weather is not easy to predict, but it is certainly much easier to predict than what they seem to think. That they all their computer analysis, diagrams, forecasts, all the stuff they do, I can look at it and go, oh, it's not going to do that. Well, these are the computer models. Well, it's not going to do that. I forgot you got a big lake out there that's at a certain temperature, whatever that temperature might be. That has a huge effect on what's going to happen here. But, yeah. Anyway, I have, we have that going on. Anyway, what was I going to lead somewhere. I was telling the story about my boat. And we have, so today, rather than take the boat today, which I think if I'd have gotten out on the boat early enough, we definitely could have taken the boat this morning and been fine. I think we would have been fine. But we had to leave like 6 a.m. Now that's just an impossibility. If I'm by myself, yeah, I can just, at 6 a.m., I untie the dock and I don't care what's... It doesn't matter whether there's anything around me or not. Whether I'm even ready to go, I just untie the boat and I start going. But if I'm not by myself, there's other people involved. It usually throws a monkey wrench into things, and it's usually a couple hours later to get on the ball and get going. So it's just not that easy. So I have, yesterday was, in fact, there were some people that were going to go tomorrow from my dock. They were going to leave tomorrow, and they decided to go on Sunday. Henceforth, I decided that looked like Monday was going to, or Sunday was going to be the best day for me to go as well. It didn't make any sense for me to leave today if I was going to be later in the day. Any later in the day, and it would have been, looked like it was starting to deteriorate. Get rainy, you know, just not bad, just rainy and who knows what. And took off yesterday, actually. Wind was great. We had a good time. Sailed almost entirely the whole way until about the last hour. Had to motor. The sun went down. The moon was full, nice and bright. Ended up... motoring the last little part of it. But made it safely. It was about a 7-hour trip, I think, 6-hour trip. It was 6 hours, I guess. I have made it in five, or actually just about 5 hours before. But it's about 7 hours this time. Anyway. I am, yes, let's talk about other stuff. Let's talk about something else. Needless to say, I'm pretty tired this morning. I got home about 1 o'clock in the morning this morning. And, I got in bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. I got home about 1 o'clock. I didn't lollygag around too long. But, so it's, I'm kind of just wishy-washy on my brain this morning. It's going to be a mishmash. The mishmash is my... Usually call this mishmash Monday. It's mishmash my brain, mishmash mind. I have no, I don't even have notes. I have no notes. I'm noticing that this chair is making a lot of noise. The the seat back is making a lot of noise. And I think I'm going to have to get a new chair down here because it's driving me crazy. Okay, where were we? The news cycle. Let's talk about the news cycle. It has completely shifted around to all kinds of other things. There's all kinds of violence that have been perpetrated upon some conservative folks. And there's a particular individual that got attacked basically by a mob. And he ended up arrested. I think this was out in Portland or someplace out west. So one of those. And he gets arrested for disturbing the peace because they were beating him up. And then Abby Phillips and all these other people are saying that, oh no, everybody got arrested. The gaslighting, the copium, the misinformation. It's off the charts. They're simply saying these weird things. For example, they do this all the time. This is when it comes to the election, coming up to election time, they were saying how, it's not legal for non-U.S. citizens to vote in any election. It's not legal. It's not legal. It's not legal. That's all they say. It's not legal anywhere in any states for anybody to vote in any federal elections. It's against the law for anybody. That's all they say. It's against the law. Well, murder's against the law, too. Just because it's against the law doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And the point is, we're trying to say, this is happening, and they're saying, no, that's against the law. It doesn't happen. That can't happen. Oh, it can't happen because it's against the law. That's amazing how that works. Well, we should just make murder against the law, and then that wouldn't happen anymore. Well, murders are happening. Oh, no, it's against the law for that to happen. No one would do that because they'd be breaking the law. And there's no lawbreakers out there. There's no evidence of widespread. So you find all these little, pockets of voter fraud. And every day it seems like I hear more stories about somebody somewhere being indicted or something about voter fraud. There's no widespread voter fraud that would have affected the election. Now we only hear that when they win. When they lose, that's like they just go, oh, okay. Well. But when it comes to 2020, of course they don't. Oh no, that was a perfectly good election with more people who voted in that election than ever voted ever before in the history of man. Both candidates got more votes than anybody else in their parties ever before. Joe Biden, in fact, got more votes than anyone's ever gotten. Yeah. How'd that work out for us? I think I've heard a lot of people say this. I'm one who believes it. I think it had to happen that way. A lot of things were exposed through that whole process, and I think that it gave Trump 4 more years of influence in the political spectrum. And we would be, if he would have had 8 years, his term would have been up this last year, and it was, who knows, I don't know what would have happened over those 4 years, but I guarantee you the machine would have continued to work against him during those other 4 years. Now he knows who those people are, and he's had 4 years to think about it. He said 4 years to put things in place. He came in, hit the ground running from day one and knew how the machine worked. When he first started, I think he thought he could work with Democrats. He thought he could work with people and get something done and move forward. So he knows what he's dealing with now. Now, unfortunately, 4 years takes a toll on someone's, their life, their mental capacities, their health. He's not exactly Mr. Fit. And of course, I think he's at a point, though, in his life where he's going to say what he wants to say. He doesn't care. He's not going to run for another term. He's not going to walk on eggshells. I think that if... if we win the, if the Republicans win the House and the Senate by a good majority coming up in the 2026 election, I think you're going to see a Trump unleashed like never before. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I'm not going to say one way or the other on that. What I will say is that, you know, we have more than three more years left of his administration. And I believe, barring anything that could possibly happen, I think it's going to be an amazing time. I think we're going to see some ups and downs throughout the next 4 years. We always do. Of course, every time there's a down, the Democrats will jump on that. And every time there's an up, they'll take credit for it. So that's just the way they work. It's the way both sides work, really. But it's just this whole thing with the budget, the bill, all this stuff. They're playing games with semantics and all the stuff that they're trying to do. Now, for those of you who don't understand what the government shutdown is about, let me at least explain this one thing. This is the way I understand it, and I think I'm fairly accurate on this. So this is what they call a CR. It's a continuing resolution. And what that means is that it's kind of a kick the can down the road thing. They can't get a budget done, so they're going to just continue the resolution. And what that means is we'll just continue spending where it's at until we get to the point where a few weeks from now when there's other things involved, and then we'll get this thing, you know, a couple months down the road. And we'll work on some other things so we can continue to work on negotiations. Of course, they always do this, and then things get closer to an election cycle, and then they have more political footballs to play with, and then it gets to be a bigger deal. And that's what's happening now. I think this is the second or third continuing resolution on this particular budget bill. Now, so what's happened here is the budget, this continuing resolution is the same one that everybody voted for in March, and Chuck Schumer even voted for it in March and argued why we should vote for it in March and not shut the government down. Same bill. The only change is there were a whole bunch of loopholes in the current legislation that was enabling states to get money, get funding, and transfer that over to their funding of illegal immigrants for Medicare, that kind of thing, is whatever. They're like, California has their own state. We're talking billions of dollars here. And what's happening is that they've put in this new CR. The only change really that's in there, there's some small things that involve some of the DOGE cuts, but the main thing that's in there that's different, that they're making an argument about, they won't come out and say why they're voting no on this thing. They won't come out and say, oh, it's going to destroy, it's going to keep 3 million people from getting health care. Well, maybe there's 3 million people that aren't supposed to get health care from the staff. Maybe there's, explain to us why that's, we're babies are going to die. Children are going to die. Everybody's going to die. It's just a dystopian. It's blah, 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 blah. It's just vilifying the Republicans once again. And it's, here's the problem. You got these loopholes that they're spending so much more money that's why they're crying and screaming. Because they're not going to be able to play their little game and finagle the money that the states are getting, and that's what they're upset about. So they're twisting the facts. Of course, now anytime you ask them about it, you say, "Well, you're claiming that federal funds are going to, there's no federal funds, against the law for any federal funds to go to immigrants, illegal aliens. It's against the law." Anytime you try to tell them, it's the same thing with the election. You try to say funds are going to, federal funding is going to, you know, if you don't think there's any fraud in the Medicaid programs, there's no fraud there. that there's not a smidgen, not a smidgen of impropriety, not a smidgen of corruption in the IRS, according to Barack Obama, as he's sigging the IRS on all of his political enemies. We don't have to, we need to go down that road again and talk about how Obama weaponized, we always hear this, weaponized the IRS to go after his political opponents. I think it was like a 87% of the organizations that the IRS went after during that, there was like a 2-year session there where they went after all these conservative organizations, shut many of them down, penalized a lot of them. Some were put in prison. Don't hear about that stuff, do you? They just don't talk about it. But there's not a smidgen. And he comes out and says there's not a smidgen. I don't know what a smidgen is. Maybe it's a, you know, well, there's, maybe it's a certain kind of bird. I don't know. But, that, you know, of course there's not a smidgen in the IRS. They don't have a smidgen department. But they do have a fraud, problem with fraud. I don't know what smidgen is, but they do have fraud. I know what fraud is. There's no corruption at all in the IRS because they're doing exactly what I'm telling them to do. They're going after my political enemies. So that's what was happening there. And then, you know, we get this crazy idea that for some reason that there's no fraud. There's not a smidgen of corruption. Anytime you confront any of these people on MSNBC or anybody else, Scott Jennings did it the other day with Abby Phillips. He said something about, you know, funding was going to fund illegal immigrants with health insurance. It's illegal for anyone. It's against federal law. We all know it's against federal law for anybody to get federal funding from that's illegal immigrants. Yeah. It is against the law. Has anybody been prosecuted for it? Well, no, because nobody's doing it. Apparently not. Apparently nobody's doing it. That's why there's nobody's prosecuted. But it's just one of those crazy things. Why do they keep talking about this? That's their only defense. It's against the law. Well, it's against the law. Well, that's what they should say next time somebody uses a silencer or a weapon to kill somebody. Well, it doesn't happen. It's against the law. Insurrection is against the law. It doesn't happen. It's against federal law to do an insurrection. There's no insurrections out there. That's against the law. And the only thing they have is January 6th. They keep bringing that up. We talk about violence. Anyway, so we have this situation here where that's the only thing in the bill that they're voting no for, because it takes out the loopholes. It specifically says that funds that there's going to be what do they call it? It's basically an accountability type thing. There's going to be tracking of the funds that are going to these states that make sure that there's no funding that's enhancing their ability to fund other, because what they throw the money into a general fund and then they just pull out of that general fund to go into their own statewide programs. That's simply as I can put it right there. It's just the bill takes out the loopholes that the states are using to get federal funding for Medicare, for their form of Medicare, whatever they got going on for. And that's where now they're claiming that that's. But my question is, there's two questions I have today for you. You give me an answer. Call me at 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show and give me your thoughts on this, because I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think about what I think, and I want to know what to think. So just let me know all those things. But first of all, what are they gaining with all the protests? Okay, they're protesting ICE. They're protesting everything. This one thing happened. I think was it down in Texas? Well, I think it was down in Texas somewhere. They had all these protesters out there. And of course, you always see the person leading the chants, and they're out there leading the chants, you know, ICE go home, whatever it is. You know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that they'll chant. Some of it's very incendiary. It's So they get out there, and some of them are really stupid. Some of these chancers, it's like, can't you just like ask AI to do something for you? You can't come up with a good chant better than that. And a lot of it sounds like they're just going through a therapy session trying to, they're looking in the mirror going, I believe this is true. I believe this is true. We believe this is true. Oh, it's like they're trying to get themselves worked up into a frenzy, but which is what they do. Anyway, there's more and more of this. Well, what they found is when they arrest the leaders of these things, there are instigators. There are people who are leading this thing. One or two people. They arrested a couple people in this one particular event where there was a lot of violence going on. And the next day, there's like one guy standing out there with a megaphone. Kind of just spewing nonsense. The crowd was gone. A part of that was because they actually allowed the police to come in and do their job and protect the particular people who were being attacked, which was, they happened to be ICE agents in that case. Now, you have to understand, when ICE agents come into town, they're not coming into town. They're not law enforcement. They're not there to do riot control. That's not their job. The police are in charge. The police have a riot squad. The police, they have all this stuff that they're going on. They have the resources. They have that. And they're not doing it. So Trump is saying, well, we're going to take the National Guard in, and they're going to protect the ICE agents while they do their job. Because the states, some of these cities are not protecting them because they're telling them to stand down. So my first question for you is, what do you think they're trying to accomplish? I'll give you my opinion on it, because it's the news according to me. But I want to know your opinion. What do you think they're trying to accomplish by having these protests? Do you think that they're actually making some progress in winning hearts and minds and changing people's attitudes and minds? They're winning the argument by doing what they're doing? What do you think they're trying to accomplish by doing these protests? Secondly, the other question I have for you is, what do they have to gain? Why is it that they are so vehemently standing up for illegal immigrants? Now, there's many possibilities here. Let me just stick a few things in your head. I think it's a combination of a couple of these things. But first of all, let's talk about the protests. They're being funded. There's these people who are the leaders, especially, are being paid. Some of the people who are watching these leaders do their thing, they know they're being paid. They know they're taking orders from somebody higher, and they can spot them. After a couple of days of protests, they can figure out who the instigators are in this whole thing. And then you just have to look into the background and see what's going on with who's funding who, or else these people have popped up, and typically it's coming from all kinds of NGOs. The money is coming from organizations that have been funded historically by non-government organizations, nonprofits that are funded by folks like, I'm not saying he's funding all of them, the George Soros bunch and all those kinds of things. There's more people involved in it than the George Soros Group, the Tides Foundation, all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of organizations, the Open Society Foundation, all this stuff that's out there. It used to be Acorn. They busted up into a bunch of little groups. Who's the lady who ran for governor in Georgia? She started a non-prof at one point just a couple years ago. I think right before she was running again, right after she ran, lost again. And she was running a non-profit. She started it up with $150 in her bank account, and all of a sudden there was millions in there. Funding came through from somewhere. Just those kinds of things. And, of course, they use those non-profit organizations for political ends, and it's just they continue to go on from there. And it's just they pop up all over the place, and they do this kind of stuff all the time. Now, okay, there's one. Now, my opinion on that is why they're doing it, why they're doing the why they're doing the protest. Here's my take on it. They need chaos. When someone is in charge, when someone is a leader, and there's chaos going on amongst the masses, it makes the administration look bad. It's you need division and arguing and polarization within a community to keep things from happening, to keep the leader from looking good. If the group that the person is leading or serving or whatever's happening there, if there's chaos going on, everybody points to the guy in charge, the lady in charge, whoever's in charge, and says that they're to blame. That it is implied, and it is, they don't even have to say it, but they do in this case. But they, you wouldn't even have to say it. You could just automatically blame the leader for what's going on. The Democrat Party right now is in turmoil. It is, they are leaderless. There's no leader. No one stands up and stands out as a leader within the Democrat Party right now. You name one person who really is in charge. You have all these little people who think that they're in charge of everything, or the old folks who think that they're still in charge. Schumer's not in charge. He's a puppet by, you know, being pushed around by everybody else. He's never been anybody. When you look at some of the things he said in the past, they were just words on a page he read in a speech. Because now he's reading totally different words. The principle's the same. Everything's the same. And he has totally different words to say because the principles are different now because somebody else is telling him what to say. That's the way these people are. There are very few politicians out there who are actually have a critical thinking mind of their own or thinking beyond their political careers. When somebody's been, you know, when they can't do anything else besides politics because they've been doing it for so long, that you're stuck there. You know, a whole organization built around who you are and your particular candidacy. So there's that. I believe that they need chaos. This is all part of the playbook of Rules for Radicals, which is what was written for the progressive agenda. And they're progressing towards communism. And they'll say they're progressing towards democratic socialism, whatever. I'm a democratic socialist. And yet, everything that they say that they're willing, that they want to do, the Holy Grail is to, you know, seize the means of production. That's their ultimate goal. Seizing the means of production is not socialism. That's communism. It's the very definition of communism. I'm not going to play any audios today. I may play some tomorrow or Wednesday. Wednesday's still planning on having a live show in the morning. It's going to be pretty early. Probably going to be around 6 o'clock in the morning for the live show on Wednesday morning, because I've got to have the boat pulled out at 8:30, and let's just say I've got to be up there and all ready to go by then. So it's going to be kind of an interesting day. We have, at least that morning it will be, unless I have the show later in the day, which I don't think that's going to happen either. So anyway, I have, so tomorrow, it looks like tomorrow is going to be the best day for having some audio clips on the show, and tomorrow is going to be a live, no, tomorrow's not going to be a live show. Tomorrow's going to be a regular show, but I'll probably have some audio clips of some things that I'll have some ROM. At least the plan is to have some Zoran Mondami stuff going on. Some of the things he's said and the way he kind of smiles and cops out. He's a very slick individual who gets around all of his talking points, and he's asked something point blank. And of course the reporters won't crack down on anything. He looks like he's going to be the next mayor of New York. And I'm sorry, but I think New York is done if that happens. What he's planning to put in place, if he gets away with his agenda, in 2 years, you're going to see New York go downhill so fast. It's not going to be habitable anymore. You're going to see people, anybody who has anything in New York, businesses are going to leave in droves. Big business is going to leave first. Small businesses are going to leave mom and pop shops are going to close up. You're going to see an economic crash in New York, in New York City especially. It's going to affect the entire state. It is going to be a very bad time for New Yorkans, New Yorkadians. Anyway, the I hate to, you know, cast doom and gloom upon your city. I'm just saying buckle down and fasten down the hatches, because you're, this, the philosophy that's going to be ruling over that city is going to be one of just, you know, you're heading towards the cliff and you're heading towards the ditch and you're going to drive right through the ditch off the cliff. That's where you're going to go economically with that, with his policies. Anyway, the again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a economic expert. Speaking of experts, well, the other thing, one more thing here yet. So what are they trying to accomplish with all of the protests? What are they trying to get away with? Answer me this. Riddle me this. What are they trying to accomplish with these protests? Because they're obviously not out there to change minds. They're not, you know, they're not having a discourse. They're not having a discussion. If you even show up to talk to them, they're not. They're just in your face. If you ask any questions at all, well, you're any critical questions at all. And if you actually bring them any kind of facts at all, they don't even know why they're out there. So there's that on you know, the other side of that thing is the whole thing of what do they have to gain from? So just those two questions. What do they have to gain from kowtowing and catering to all these illegal immigrants? Are they simply trying to find a voter base? Is that what they're trying to do? Or are they trying to fulfill some kind of righteousness within themselves, that this emotional, I think there's an emotional motivation where they believe that they are somehow rising to a higher level of virtue, or you could say righteousness. It's really just self-righteousness, in my opinion. It's just they're pumping themselves up with self-righteousness. So they're self, you know, aggrandizing. Look at me. Look how loud I can be. I can beat my chest louder than anyone else for the sake of the immigrant, the downtrodden. I am standing in the gap. I am defending them. I'm utilizing my white privilege to help them. So I'm going to, yeah, whatever they do. It's just, what do I say about that? So then we have the other side of this, of course, is we have, well, let's move on to the next thing I want to talk about. This is where it gets a little crazy. Again, call the show. Let me know what you think, by the way. 812-379-8778. You can call or text that number, or you can, it's just a hotline. You can leave a message or leave a text message. I may or may not read your comments on the show, or play your thing on the show there. But I also might say that if you don't have a phone, or if you're outside the country and you don't have an international calling plan of some kind, you can call via google.com/voice. Type that number in the website there, and it will come through. Or you can actually make a call. You can actually leave a voicemail, google.com/voice, 812-379-8778. And you can let me know what your opinion is on all that. Thank you. Now, there's no sponsor for this show. There's no advertisements. Just have to put up with my drivel. It's all free. And I don't have a sponsor. I'm not planning on ever having a sponsor, by the way, because it's just that way I can say whatever I want to. It's my therapy time, not yours. So we have, I should be paying you probably, but yeah, see how that works out. Send me a bill. See how that works out. We have, don't send me a bill. I'm just, that was a joke. There you go. Yeah. I want to change gears. I want to change subjects here just quickly, touch on some things. Gaza. There is apparently an arrangement, a deal on the table that Hamas has apparently agreed to a large part of it. Now, they can say they agree to it, and whether or not it's going to be implemented or not, I don't know. But what they want is a ceasefire. Now, I've heard so many different reports on what's going on in Gaza. On one hand, you hear that they've totally obliterated everything. They've blown up 90% of the area has been just bombed and blown up and destroyed, and either destroyed or damaged. My understanding is they're willing to return all the hostages. Now, it's estimated that probably most of the hostages are not alive anymore. That they're not expecting good things here because these people, you know, whatever happens. I don't think all of the hostages will be returned. I think they're going to find that some of them probably have been lost, and they probably aren't going to be able to know. You have to understand the organization of Hamas is not like a very highly disciplined, organized group of people. You got some people who are more radical than others, and there are probably people who had taken hostages initially who really, there's no discipline within the group in terms of hierarchy. That's not a military like how we think of the military. There's no accountability anywhere. It's just rulership by fear. And I think that there are cell groups within the organization that will do what they want to do. And it's a loosely knit bunch of people who have a radical ideology that they're following. So as far as the ideology, they're on the same page, but the way they implement that is not. And I just don't think they're going to be able to organize things that well. Leadership from Hamas comes down with an edict. I don't think that they're all necessarily going to follow it very well. It is a very fractioned organization, if you want to call it that. So that's just my opinion. But we have this situation where they basically have agreed to return all the hostages and have a ceasefire. And then in process with all of this, many of the surrounding countries would be involved and agreed to invest in Gaza. And Hamas would give up leadership. They would be giving up leadership of the area. However, they would still have an influence, I guess, if you will, in the governmental procedures there. But it would be a very different kind of organization. Now, the problem with some of this, and this is where they use these people as pawns, just like the left uses immigrants here, as illegal immigrants as pawns in this country. Gaza has been, for a very long time, they've kept the people there enslaved because of, and I'm talking about Hamas, keeps the people. We've been told time and time again by people like Norman Finkelstein and all these other people that seem to are so supposed experts on the place. It's the largest open air prison in the world. There's estimates that there's 2 million people there, and of course they were telling us that there were 50,000 people a day dying. And this is 2 years ago. Do the math on that. I don't. Let's see what we got here. Let's pull up. What happened to it? What happened to my calculator? My calculator's gone. It's got to be here somewhere. We have. Let's just divide this up and see what it takes here. Why does it take so long to pull up a calculator? That's all a computer is just a calculator. Let's say 2 million divided by 50,000. 40. In 40 days, everybody be gone. Oh. There you go. Let's go to 2 million divided by 5,000. 400 days, just over a year, everybody be gone. about 13 months, 13, 14 months. Everybody gone. Everybody. And that's if there actually were 2 million people there. That's the high estimate. It's estimated that it's anywhere from 1.2 million to 2 million. So it's like just over a million to... They don't even know how many people are there. It's just, how do you... But there are people who are out there still saying they're killing 50,000 people a day. Or there's 10,000 a day dying, whatever it is. That's when you hear statements like that, you start doing the math on those things. And see who's telling the truth and who's not. And it's just, now, has Israel responded with a heavy hand? I think they've overstepped their bounds in several ways. I understand why they feel justified. At the same time, I don't agree with the policies and the ways, the procedures that they're going about doing things. I get it. They're a small guy in a big pond over there, small fish in a big pond, and they've got to stick up for themselves. I get it. That's I don't have a problem with that. Go ahead and do that. I don't have a problem with them buying U.S. military stuff and having us help them with the logistics of all that. I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with them using that clout, using that leverage, using that kind of backing or manipulating people into thinking that they can do no wrong or that everything that they do is right. Just forget that. I don't believe everything the United States does is right. I back... Let me put it this way. I pray for the peace of Israel. It doesn't mean you achieve it by, the end justifies the means here, but that's just, I'm just saying. But I fully support their efforts to maintain peace in the region. Now, I'm not a diplomat, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I want to go down this other. This is the other thing I wanted to talk about. The other thing. And I'll finish with this. I want to mention Charlie Kirk again. It's just been, I'm kind of taken back by how much it has hit me. I had listened to him quite a bit, and I had followed a lot of what he'd said, and I really hadn't heard a lot of the things he'd said until after he was murdered. But I have since realized that this guy, he was brilliant, first of all. He didn't get where he was at just by chance. Incredibly intelligent. He was very respectful of other people. And it was kind of the grounding point of his whole culture around what he was trying to do within the, his campus talks that he was having. And I think it was, I think there was something spiritual that hit me more than anything, even though I didn't know him. I guess this thing about, I had heard he got shot, and then about an hour later, and I was listening to the news, I was listening to a live program, and I was outside working, doing some stuff, and I was listening to this, and all of a sudden then I heard that he had just said that he had passed away, didn't make it, and I was shocked by that. And I walked in to tell my wife, and she responded. Of course, she was kind of shocked and surprised, and I had to leave the room. It was all of a sudden, in just telling her that news, we had a significant loss. Now, I'm not saying that God won't turn this around and do something good with it. I'm not saying that. And I know there was a lot of stuff about the memorial that people don't like. It was too politicized, whatever it was, whatever you want to say. 95 to 99% of the memorial was a Christian worship session, and the gospel was preached in many ways. I don't like it when politicians formally stand up with in a memorial situation like that. I don't mind them attending. I don't like them having a platform to speak. I don't necessarily like that. Even though I think most of them said was very fitting. I had no problem with what most of them said. I think Marco Rubio did an awesome job of presenting a gospel message. Tucker Carlson, I could have done without. Too much of that going on. Too many pundits there, I guess I might say. I didn't see Chuck Schumer there. I didn't see anybody of any significance from the left, the party on the left. I'm sure they would have had a seat for them right down front if they would have wanted to be there. Maybe they would have even let them speak. And again, it's the response from the left that bothers me even more. The event bothers me. What happened bothers me. What bothers me more, 10 times more, is the response that we see from the left. The dancing, the celebrations, and then to have Nancy Pelosi say, well, I can't control what's in the mind of someone else. She didn't say that about Officer Sicknick. Even though he wasn't, who was it that committed murder there, Nancy? Who was the person who killed Officer Sicknick? He was killed by the January 6th rioters, the insurrectionists. Which one? Which blow killed him? What event killed him? Because he didn't die that day, he died later on. In fact, he returned back to his post later that day and went home. He had some injuries, but he wasn't treated. They were minor things. And then died the next, actually it was almost 2 days later, of a stroke. And yet, his body laid in state, and all we heard about was how, they murdered this man. Who murdered, who's they? Has the investigation ever determined who actually killed Officer Sicknick? Because the autopsy said he didn't die of kind of blunt force trauma to the head or anything. And yet, that's all we heard about. But in this case, someone murders a, I would say, political figure.
I can't control what's in the mind of someone else.
Very dismissive. Again, like I said, it's the response that really bothers me the most from these people, because it really shows where they really are. And you have the whiny, cryy people who get fired because they celebrated on social media about his murder. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about this a little bit more. There are all kinds of people. Stephen Gardner, I like Stephen Gardner. He's had a couple shows. He's talking about the Charlie Kirk thing. Candace Owens is going down this road. You need to get some help, Candace. I know you're not listening to my show, but Candace, you need to talk to somebody. I don't know. You're going off a trap door. It came from below. There's all this idea. All of a sudden, all these people, now they'll come right out and say, I'm not an expert, but this doesn't seem like a 30-06 to me. Stephen Gardner had this show where he talked to a mortician. And now this is not a person who's seen the body. This is just a guy who's a mortician. Now, morticians are not necessarily people who are doing autopsies. Sure, they've seen a lot of dead bodies. Okay, that's, you know, they've seen a lot of stuff. There was a guy, and I wish I would have saved, I'd have to look back through my history. This was almost a week ago, and I'm sure I have to dig through a whole lot of material to try to find this guy again. But he did a very good, and he's just a plain guy just doing, he was a former sniper. He was also doing some kind of special work in the military with ballistics and some other stuff. And he was just a regular Joe. It wasn't a big production. It was just this real simple, he didn't even have enough money to actually do like a lot of testing, but the testing he did was excellent, and his information was spot on. He was talking about the difference between he had three different bullets. One was a 223, the other one was a 556. It was, and he also had a 30-06. There was three different bullets. I can't remember what all three of them were. One of them was a 223, which is kind of a standard round for an AR, and the other one was a 30-06. Which is a very powerful round, by the way. Now, I don't know that, I'm not an expert on guns. I do have guns. I shoot, I carry, I do all that stuff. But I don't know I would think you could get 30-06 rounds that are full metal jacket or hollow point, but maybe you can't. I've never been a 30-06 fan. I would have thought that like everything else, I can buy 308, I can buy it in full metal jacket, I can buy it, I can buy all kinds of different kinds of rounds, even different grains in that round. I would think a 30-06 would be the same thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe you can't get hollow point 30-06. I don't know. But it was almost comedic watching Stephen Gardner talk to this mortician, and they were, well, it just doesn't look to me like it would have been a 30-06 because of 30. And then they had some video of some guy using a 30-06 to shoot a cow neck, and it basically blew it apart. Well, of course, it's very graphic, because there was an exit wound. There was no exit wound on this one. They found his bullet. The mysterious missing bullet was found down in his whatever seventh vertebrae or whatever it was. Folks, a bullet can go and do weird things inside of a body, but it just all depends on how it struck the body, how it strikes the first bone. It's just everything that's, you know, the particular angle that it was at, everything that was there. There are people who don't even believe that Donald Trump was shot in the ear because, well, where's the hole? We don't see any hole. That must have. They think there was just a blood pack on his ear, and this was all set up. There are people who think that. Joy Reid thinks it was all a setup and there was never any medical issue. He was never actually really shot. It was all fake. Well, why would it bother you if it was fake? Was it effective? Is it because being shot at was effective? They think that he was just doing that as a play. This is like a play. And this man who died, he's just some kind of actor who really, you know, he's in the witness protection program. These people go down some crazy, crazy lame brain ideas. Because apparently your mind cannot wrap it around the Occam's razor kind of thought of the most logical explanation. The most obvious explanation is probably the actual reason it happened. There are people saying the guy couldn't have made it up on that roof. And the next moment, and Stephen Gardner himself said he actually went to the place and looked it all over, and he thinks that where that shot came from, it couldn't have come from this. But he did admit that getting up on that roof, you can do it in about 30 seconds. There's literally a stairway that goes up there. There's two areas where you can walk upstairs, get up there, lay down, get your gun ready to go. And the one guy was kind of an expert, and he goes, I could come up here with my gun, get it up here, set it up, and be on the in less than 30 seconds. And, you know, this is not an issue at all. He said he wouldn't have to crawl to do it. He said he could walk up the stairs. Now, he did jump off, because, of course, there were people crawling all over the place at that point. I think he did jump off of a of the roof at a low point. Show him doing that. And he stashes his gun somewhere. And all the stuff that was going on. And I think people say that his text messages were text messages that the feds put into his system, into his phone thing. I don't think that's the case at all. I think the text messages that were on his touching text messages that were romantic, sent to his love, according to CNN. That those text messages were planted there by the FBI. Now I think he just did those to protect his. I think the text messages were there to give his roommate an alibi, plausible deniability kind of thing. That's what I think those were there for. Now, I don't know. I saw Jesse on fire. Jesse, somebody, I can't remember. He's like a jiu-jitsu guy. I just saw he had some kind of a post. The headline was the Charlie Kirk, assassination investigation just got blown wide open. Of course, it's all clickbait. That stuff's all clickbait. When you see like outlandish type stuff. It's just interesting how people respond and react to that kind of thing. Anyway, so just know this, and I, it would be funny if it wasn't so serious, and it just really disappoints me and makes me almost sick to my stomach when I see people like, and I like Stephen Gardner, don't get me wrong. I mean, if he invited me to be on his show, I'd love to be on his show. I'd love to talk to the guy. I think he's a very nice person. I think he does a good job. But he does tend to go off on some areas that he knows nothing about. And in this case, he has a lot of good interviews with some people. Some of them. But he needs to go listen to this guy who talks about, he does these a couple of rounds of shooting into some ballistic gel. One of them is an actual head with the whole skull and everything. It's like an actual real representation that they actually use for scientific purposes. And he has this thing and he shoots a .30-06 into it. And it almost identical type thing. It's just a bullet can be stopped, spun, whatever, maybe the thing went through a bird before it got to him or whatever. You never know. And was the gun in good working order? Was this that particular round even? Was it fully? Did it? You can shoot five different bullets. Now, if you've got really good ammunition, high quality ammunition, they're all pretty consistent. You can shoot five of them and they'll all have the same velocity. But not all of them will. You could have, maybe that bullet sat around, he actually had lasered some things or somehow he engraved some things onto that bullet, at least the casing. And so did that affect the ability for the trajectory or anything else that was going on with that thing? Is it something that you can? I wonder if you laser a casing, is it gonna set the bullet off? I don't know if it's gonna light the. I wouldn't think it would light the charge inside, but I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to try it. Maybe some of you out there can tell me if you've ever done any scientific experiments with that stuff. I think if I was gonna do it, I would probably want to be in the next state before I'd push the button on the laser thing, some kind of remote button. Anyway, that's what's bothering me right now is all the theories, because when people have a void in their mind, when they can't wrap their mind around something that is obvious or something that they have blanks there, they have to fill those spaces in with something, and it's a strange phenomenon in the human mind that happens this way. Now, I'm not a mental, but I'm not a mental expert. How you say a brain guy. But I do know that people have a tendency to fill in the blanks, much like they have with 9/11. Or there's something that they don't know about or something they don't understand. And right away, they jump to this whole conclusion. Elon Musk was talking about how he's going to get to the moon and use that as a launch. He needs the moon to get to a launching pad to Mars. And He's talking about how he's going to go to the moon. It's going to take like three times the fuel that they did for the Apollo operation and all this other stuff. But they're doing a very different kind of mission. And another guy looked at the whole thing that Elon was talking about, Musk was talking about, and he said, well, this is how he broke it down to basic math and talked about how the Apollo program worked and how we got to the moon and all the math that went into it and how they actually, you know, were able to go through the whole slingshot thing from the Earth to the moon and that whole thing. It was all worked out very precisely. And how we did it with the fuel that they had and all everything that was going on with all that. Well, Elon's mission was very different. And it's going to require, you know, anytime you make small changes, it's going to require a lot more energy typically. If it can make a huge difference. I know with my boat, if I'm going, if there's no wind and I've got it set at 2,000 RPMs or 1,900 RPMs, I will go about four to four and a half knots. And I typically, about 4.5 knots if there's no wind. And I will burn about just under a half a gallon an hour. And actually quite a bit less than a half gallon an hour. It's almost a quart an hour, but typically it's barely burning any fuel at all. Now, if I bump that up to 2,500 RPMs, I get another knot out of it, maybe just over 5 knots. And I'm burning about twice as much gas, fuel, diesel. Whatever. Just saying. Anyway, having said all of that, yeah, I get these messages about from recruiters. Apparently, I'm out there somewhere as some kind of professional doing something, and I get these messages from recruiters saying, "Oh, we see in your LinkedIn." I don't have a LinkedIn, so I don't know what. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got for the show today. It's kind of gone over a little bit longer than I wanted to, but hey, you get your money's worth on this show. Because think about all the money you paid to watch this show, to listen to this show. Yeah, there you go. Think about that. So we have a show tomorrow. Hopefully going to have a lot more audio clips tomorrow. That's the plan tomorrow. And then Wednesday morning, very early, probably going to be about 6 a.m., Wednesday morning, there might be a live show. It'll probably only be about 30 minutes long, but hopefully have a show. So tune in at 6 a.m. for the live broadcast. And I'm just going to be chatting live for a little bit just to do it, I guess. I don't know. See how that works out for us. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me. Let me know what you think. 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care. And I will... See ya!